Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. And everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
Unacceptable in all areas. Unacceptable coaching, unacceptable playing, unacceptable effort. Not what we're about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really, you know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Certainly, like I said, coach our kids to do the right thing and you know, play with poise, play with confidence, play with dignity, play with class. But at the same time, we're not going to take anyone's shit either.
We want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
All I want to do is fucking eat. I want you to eat. I want you to eat. I want you to want this shit. Do you want it? Do you want it? Show me.
Bunch of them did it again.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vowels on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey. Damn, Mike, you starting early, ain't you?
It's my day off, son. They can't keep me from drinking.
Oh, at least that's one of us, man, because I got to go to work sober.
All right, Shane, well, we're here. Obviously, Friday morning. It's a Picks podcast. Can't believe it's week 10 already. You ready to get down to some Picks action here?
Absolutely. Let's do it, buddy.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Not only am I picking Toledo to cover, I'm picking Toledo to win outright.
Cash would kick your ass if he heard you say that.
Well, he'd kick my ass regardless.
Exactly.
They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it.
Mike, if Florida wins this damn game, I will sing the fight song Monday. It ain't happening, brother. Yo, orange and blue, waving forever. Forever pride, old Florida. May she droop
now. Joking here. I forgot to hit record, so you got to do that again.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm recording it. All right, Shane, we're going to go mostly in order here like we typically do. The kickoffs, we're going to save the Georgia-Florida game. Let's save that one to the very end. And let's tackle the two non-conference games. Just get them out of the way. Starting with the noon kickoff. Can't believe the SEC gave us only this game at noon. But UTSA, that's Texas, San Antonio, at Texas A&M. It's going to be a real barn burner, Shane. The Aggies favored by 38 points. Who do you like in this matchup?
Ooh, doggy, 38 points. I just don't think that's enough with the spread. Actually, I think it's too many now that I've got my calculator out here. I think Texas A&M gets, I think they get things going. They look at times a little, I don't know, out of place last few weeks. It just seems like they've been struggling to find their identity. I think this week is when we start getting it reined back in. Some of this young talent is just going to keep improving. So I got Texas A&M winning this thing, but I don't have them covering the spread, barely. I have Texas A&M 49, UTSA 13.
Ooh. All right, Shane, I like a lot of what you had to say there. I kind of agree with a lot of it. You know, it's a little bit different. If this game was, you know, week one, week two, everybody's healthy, everybody's good to go, Texas A&M will kick the shit out of this squad. And I'm not saying they're not going to do it on Saturday. I just think Kind of like you said, there's a lot of young talent. How up are they going to be up for this game? I know they've had some down performances, but we've seen some of these guys like Isaiah Spiller and Jalen Wattemeyer, the freshman tight end. We've seen them come on. Can they do it consistently? They've yet to show that. So I'm a big Texas A&M fan going into this week. Certainly, I don't think they're going to be tested in this game against UTSA. UTSA, outside of Lamar, this may be the worst team the Aggies play. But I just don't think, and even if they get up, look at it that way, Shane, if they get up by a large margin, I don't think they're going to keep a player like Kellen Mond on the field. What's the point? You got to rest him. So I think this is going to be one where the Aggies get the backup quarterback, Zach Calzada, some run. Hopefully he gets, it'd be nice if he got the whole second half to see what he can do, but I anticipate him playing the entire fourth quarter. So I'm with you on this one. I'm going to give UTSA the cover, but only because it's 38 points. Texas A&M wins big. I'm going Texas A&M 45, UTSA 10.
Okay. Percent-wise, what's the odds UTSA pulls this upset? I mean, would you give it 2%, 1%? Where are we at?
0%.
Zero. I like it. I like it. I'm with you there. There's no shot.
All right, Shane, your boys hosting UAB at Tennessee, and this game is going to be broadcast as a night game, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central Time on ESPNU. Tennessee, 11.5-point favorite. Who do you like in this matchup?
Boy, it's going to be a cold game, Mike. I'm telling you right now, we got a cold front coming in. It's going to be – and I think – I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, and I'm not going to say that's going to mess with these boys, but the Tennessee boys are on fire right now. So I think they win. I am curious about the quarterback situation because I don't think they put Brian out there. I think they leave him on the sideline until next week, possibly, which kind of concerns me a little bit. I think we got lucky at times against South Carolina on some of those 50-50 balls, and UAB's not a team to sleep on. They are fully capable of winning. But that being said, Tennessee obviously wins this thing, but they don't cover the spread. Tennessee 38, UAB 24.
Ooh. Sounds like our Tennessee homer is trying not to jump too much on the bandwagon.
That's right.
Well, that may be a smart move, Shane, because UAB, what are they? I think they're 6-1 on the season. Their lone loss came in a game where their quarterback threw multiple interceptions. So I'm sure they got a lot of confidence coming into this game. And, you know, for all that, all the hype around Tennessee the last couple weeks, I mean, they still got a losing record. So they're improving, but they still got a long way to go before they can even seriously talk about making the postseason. But they're going to go a long way to doing that this week, Shane, because just the way Tennessee has been playing, they just, I don't know, a flip has been switched. I know Jeremy Pruitt here on Wednesday said some interesting stuff about the quarterback rotation. It sounds like, kind of like you said, JT Shrout likely to start. Jarrett Garantano, he's playing with a glove. I don't think Garantano's going to even play in this game. I don't think he can hand the ball off effectively. And that's what they're really going to want them to do in this game. These quarterbacks, they're not going to be airing it out this week. It's going to be about the offensive line and the ground game. And the offensive line's a little banged up. So it's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee plays this one. Unlike you, I think Brian Maurer will play in this one. I don't know how much he'll play. I think that depends on the performance of JT Shrout. But I'm not seeing it, Shane. We took a little bit deeper dive on this UAB team and who they've beaten. Yes, they've got a good record, but they have not really beaten anyone with a pulse. I know their numbers look good, but of course, you know, we all know they're not playing any SEC teams or anything. So I like Tennessee to continue the momentum. If they play the way they've been playing the last couple weeks, they're going to kill this team, and that's what I'm picking. I'm going Tennessee 30. UAB 13.
Nice. I like your score better.
All right, Shane, kicking over to the SEC action. Let's go to the Loser Leaves Town Bowl. Mississippi State at Arkansas, 4 o'clock Eastern on SEC Network, 3 o'clock Central Time. Mississippi State, Shane, favored on the road by 7.5. That's a lot of points there, mm-hmm. considering the way Joe Moe's team's been playing here, but they are playing the Razorbacks. What do you like in this matchup?
Well, Mike, this one's got a lot riding on it. You know, I'm with you. I don't think that the loser of this game loses his job, but I think it definitely edges him a little closer. And I think there's a lot right. Go with me here. I don't think either one of these coaches will be here next year. I'm at that point. Unless Mississippi State wins out or wins some impressive games here at the end, makes a bowl game, mm-hmm. I think Joe's gone too. I think he's moved on to greener pastures. And I think Morris, I don't think he wins an SEC game this year. So, and that being said, obviously tip my hat to this one. I think Mississippi State wins. Uh-huh. I think the bearded trader gets going. They have the scripted plays that make it easy for them. They just said, you know what, man? Just freaking run, because everybody can run against Arkansas. And Mississippi State wins this thing 38, Arkansas 17. So not even a ball game, man.
It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one for Razorback Nation, Shane, if that's what happens. We all know Chad Morris. Well, seems like I'm the only one that knows it. Put his big wang on the tables, guaranteeing a victory here against them Bulldogs, Shane. They've got to show up here. Sounds like Ben Hicks is going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. That means I can't wait to see who this backup is that lights up Mississippi State's defense. We covered it on the last episode, Shane. Garrett Schrader and that offense, they're dumbing it down. Ooh, boy. Let me tell you, Shane, if I was not getting paid, I don't think I'd watch this damn game. And yeah. I love SEC football. It's going to be a tough one to watch, I think. But I think both these offenses find some success, particularly because Mississippi State banged up in the secondary. That could be critical here towards the end. But, you know, kind of like you said, Garrett Schrader, if he has a big day, the guy I'm really looking at is Kylan Hill. He had a big performance last week, but it still wasn't enough to keep Mississippi State in it. I just think the way Arkansas's offense is playing, I don't think they're going to be able to test Mississippi State's defense like the Aggies did last week. And then if you want to say, well, hell, this game's in Fayetteville, this should give them some home field advantage. And I'm not calling out the fans here, because I would be right there with them if I was a season ticket holder, but they don't even go to these damn games anymore. So I don't think there is a home field advantage. This is basically like playing on a neutral field, which no one showed up for. This is going to be like a Wednesday December bowl, you know, like you got 1,000 people in the stands and they're just, I don't know, they just got free tickets that day. So I'm going, much like you, Mississippi State to win. Arkansas is not even going to cover. I got the Bulldogs 33, Arkansas 20, nearly a 2-touchdown loss here. And here we go again, man. The Chad Morris era off to a very, very rocky start.
I can't wait for this presser, Mike. We call it the depressor.
All right, Shane, next game. Ole Miss at Auburn, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, 6 o'clock Central. Auburn, a big favorite in this one. The Tigers favored by 19 over the Rebels here. Who do you like in this matchup?
You know, Auburn had plenty of opportunities last week to win that ball game against the number one team in the nation, and they just barely missed it. Ole Miss, I talked about them since the beginning of the season. I think they've impressed people. I think a lot of people thought Ole Miss would be – I thought they would be like a two-win team, but mm-hmm. here they are at 3 wins right there knocking at a bowl game. And Ole Miss has some exciting weapons. I think Plumtree adds that X factor. He's just exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. The defense is doing just enough to stay in any of these ball games. But we're talking about Auburn, man. We're talking about a defensive front that is going to have a lot of people playing on Sundays. And these guys are, they're pissed. I really do. I think all they've been chirping all week, I don't think it's a hangover game. I think it's a revenge game. They want to show the nation that they're still relevant. They still have an opportunity to, an outside opportunity, but an opportunity nonetheless to make a playoff. Mm-hmm. So I think Auburn comes out firing. Bo Nix gets 6 touchdowns. Ooh. And wins this game 42, Ole Miss 20.
Nice. Well, I like a lot what you had to say there, Shane. I've decided I'm going to start calling, I don't even call them Auburn anymore, Shane. I'm calling them away Auburn and home Auburn, because they're two different ball clubs. And it is interesting that Joey Gatewood leaving in the middle of the week here. I think if home Auburn was a bad team, if this was not, I mean, they're borderline still a top 10 team. I don't think Joey Gatewood leaving is going to splinter this locker room. I think they're still, you know, pushing in the same direction. I think if anything, it's going to motivate them to be like, man, if you ain't bought in here, get the hell out. I mean, I think that's going to be the player mentality. I don't know about 6 touchdowns, but I do think Bo Nix has a nice bounce back game here. The best thing that the Rebels got going for him, John Rhys Plumlee, and they say he's going to play. Matt Luke has come out and said, you know, he's cleared for this game, but I don't know if I'm buying it, Shane. He's not even a full participant all week in practice. He may be cleared to go, but are they really going to ask this kid, who, keep in mind, he's only like 18 years old, we're going to ask him to run the ball 15 to 20 times a week after surgery against this Auburn team? I'm not buying it. And that has been the key in my mind. I mean, that kid is so dynamic. You got to watch out for his future. That would be reckless, in my opinion, if you're just throwing him to the wolves like that. So that's huge for me. I know that Jerrion Ealy is coming back, but I just don't think Ole Miss is going to have much success against this Auburn defense. Kind of like you said, I think they're going to be fired up coming off that LSU loss where they fought tooth and nail. I'm going Auburn to win big, home Auburn to win big, 34, Ole Miss 13. I like the Tigers to cover.
I know what you're saying, but I feel like they do run Plumtree out there, and I think that they force him to run because they're sitting there. They got to win this game. Ole Miss does to make a bowl because they got New Mexico State and possibly Mississippi State. That's your 6 wins. You also got LSU on the schedule, but realistically, Auburn is your next best bet. So I don't think they hold anything back here. There's a lot on the line. So I expect them to get out there and run around. His mom ain't going to like it. She's going to be all over Facebook talking about Coach hurting her boy. But, you know, that's what's going to happen. I don't think Ole Miss can afford to wait for him to get any healthier, because if they're going to get to 6, it's got to be through Auburn. Mm-hmm. Hey, percent real quick on this one, because it is a pretty big spread here. What are the odds that Ole Miss does pull the upset in your mind?
Well, let's go with your scenario, because I think that's the only way it happens. John Rhys Plumlee plays in the game. He's 100%. He can take these hits. You know, maybe I actually would give it a kind of high percentage. I would say maybe 20%.
Okay. Because I was going to say 15. So
the Rebels can stop the run, and if you stop Auburn's running attack, that's huge to stopping them. And like you said, it's a desperate team, and I just love this John Rhys Plumlee, man. I think he's a gamer. I think I don't know. I can't even remember the last time. Maybe Nick Marshall type, where just had a dynamic runner like this kid. So
yeah,
he's that important to their success in my eyes.
I like it.
All right, Shane, night game, final night game here. Vanderbilt at South Carolina, 7:30 Eastern time on SEC Network, 6:30 Central. I don't have a very good pulse on this one, Shane. The Gamecocks favored by 15. Thoughts on this matchup?
My thoughts, man, at first I was – okay, my thoughts on this one, because everybody's trying to look at Vanderbilt from last week's game, and the more I watch that game, the more I feel like Missouri just did not show up. And I'm not trying to bash Vandy, you know, or anything like that. I just, when I see Vanderbilt, I think of the UNLV Vanderbilt, you know, the toe-to-toe with Northern Illinois Vanderbilt. that's the Vanderbilt I think that they are. I don't think that they just all of a sudden transitioned. I think Missouri just had a down game and Vanderbilt came away with the W. Mm-hmm. And that being said, I think Muschamp, you know, last time he was backed up against the wall, he came out firing. And I think he does the exact same thing this week. I think Helinski has a big game. I think he puts some of those doubters to rest when he comes out throwing the ball, throwing these dimes. I mean, they got some of the best receivers. They got one of the best defensive fronts in the nation. They were exposed a little bit last week, but I think they correct it this week because – I don't see Vanderbilt testing the secondary like Tennessee did. So I say all that to say this. South Carolina is going to win this game. They're going to win it big. I got South Carolina 55, Vanderbilt 10.
Whoa, buddy.
Yeah, not even a ball game.
I think I know what's going on here, Shane. You're trying to get the mustache hired in Vanderbilt.
Bring Fisher in, baby.
I mean, you could be right, Shade, but the thing with me, I don't have a good read on this one. Vanderbilt's had 2 weeks to prepare. I think that's going to be critical because Mo Hassan, you know, he got banged up, looked like he got a concussion in their last game. So having 2 weeks for this kid to get on the mend, I think that's going to be huge for Vanderbilt. I think I think that's going to suggest that he'll be on the field for the Commodores. And, you know, he was solid in the only game I've seen him play. So I think he's going to be decent here again. South Carolina, no excuse for losing this game, but I don't know. There's just at times they just don't show up to play. It's not necessarily been at home. So I don't think it's going to be one of these games where they just don't show up, but it's just very hard to get a read on this team. Their offense, you know, after torching some people on the ground is kind of, I mean, Tennessee just stifled their ass last week, and that was stunning to me. I didn't see that coming. Helinski just so off the mark. I just don't know what's wrong with him at the moment, but he's just doesn't seem to be all there. South Carolina should have the edge on nearly every matchup here, so I'm picking them to win the game, but I don't have confidence in them covering. But like I said, I've just got a bad read on this one. So my pick here, South Carolina 28, Vanderbilt 17. Gamecocks, they win a good one here, but I don't think they cover this.
Okay. You're wrong, but okay. I almost put it as lock of the week, but I've been picking on South Carolina too much.
Well, speaking of that, Shane, the big game of the day, SEC on CBS, game of the week. We got a hype reel here, Shane, for Georgia versus Florida in Jacksonville.
The only way to travel into Jacksonville, the home of the Florida-Georgia game since 1933. And as you cross the Hart Bridge, the excitement builds. The butterflies grow larger. And then you see it, the waves of blue and orange and red and black. And you know you're not just part of a football game, you're part of a happening. It's time to get the party started. You said it, Jason, the best game in the country. As the Home Depot SEC on CBS brings us to TIAA Field in Jacksonville and the annual get-together between the Florida Gators and the Georgia Bulldogs, both ranked in the top 10. So important. We talked about it in the pregame show. We'll show you again what the SEC East standings look like.
Rodrigo Blankenship is going to tee it up for the Dogs. Malik Davis and Adarius Lemons will wait back deep for Florida. Dog and Gator fans wait 364 days for this moment. All right, Hot Rod, let's get it going. Victory formation for Jacob Eason. We take a knee. Georgia is 8-0. They're 5-0 in the conference. They're in the driver's seat in the SEC East. And there's one coach where everything is going right, hugging another coach that has everything going wrong right now. Largest margin of victory over Florida since 82.
Let's get into the action here. Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville on CBS. Georgia favored by 6.5 in the game that's going to decide the SEC East in all likelihood here, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like in this matchup?
Oh, Mike, I have never been so indecisive on a game in my entire life. I kept willing Georgia to win this thing. But every time I put a score in there, I just didn't like the way it looked.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of these teams. I do think Georgia is a very, very, very good team. I think they've got fantastic offensive linemen. They've been suspect at times, but I still do think they're great. I think the running backs are fantastic. They got they can run on just about anybody in the SEC. But they're not going to be able to rely on that against the University of Florida, because Florida has shown that they have the ability to stop the run. They have. We talked about Auburn earlier. They shut Auburn down, made them one-dimensional, and rattled the quarterback. I have a feeling, just a gut feeling, that this thing's going to come down to quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment, November 1st, I don't think Fromm is the best quarterback in the SEC East. This is something we've talked about. I think it's Trask. I think he's had a lot of stuff thrown at him. He's had tons of pressures. I mean, they've tried to rattle him. You just can't. The kid's tough as nails, and he's got a ton of weapons. In fact, Florida has more weapons at receivers than Georgia does. Now, Georgia has young talent, but I just think that when you look at this game and you take the running out and make it a one-dimensional offense, passing on both sides, I just think Florida just has a little too much. So I'm giving you your lock of the week and an upset, Florida Gators 28, Georgia Bulldogs 24.
Ooh, Bulldog Nation just exhaled, and so did I, Shane. Putting the kiss of death there on Florida. Gator Nation hopes you break your streak. Maybe you will, Shane.
I'm 1-9. All right, Mike. I get that. But I did have the one. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's time for number two.
Well, Shane, I'm going to have to disagree with what you said when it comes to Florida's run defense. I know they've been banged up here lately. And yes, they did stifle Auburn. I think a lot of that also had to do with the fact that Bo Nix, you know, played his worst game there, was not prepared for the swamp, could not test the Gator secondary, because teams like LSU and South Carolina were able to run all over Florida. Now, I know they were missing some defenders or getting them back,
mm-hmm.
but Georgia's just a different beast, man. I think they are going to rely on that O-line. I think they are going to be able to make their hay here on the ground. I think they've been... You know, DeAndre Swift is heating up, son, and this is going to be a money game for him. This is a game where, you know, the scouts are going to put on the tape. They're going to see what he does against Florida. And if he wants to be a first-round pick, like we all suspect he will be, He's going to have a big old day here in Jacksonville. All the hype, all the trash talk from the Gators, I think that's really gotten under Georgia's skin. We'll see. You know, they should. They got no excuse for losing this game. If they do, Kirby Smart, he needs to make some changes in the offseason. Immediately, if not during the season, because there's just no excuse for this. James Coley, he may have to get his ass out the door if they drop this one. I think Georgia's going to come out prepared. Everyone talking about what a damn good coach Dan Mullen is, so much better than Kirby Smart. He's never even beat Kirby Smart. And I know Dan Mullen, I'm not trying to trash him because I do think he's an excellent coach. I think he's a better X's and O's coach than Kirby Smart, but I don't think you can really say he's worlds better if he's never beaten him. So, I don't know, Shane. Kyle Trask, I do think, will have some success. But Georgia's getting back some defenders as well. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as you are making it out to be. I think Georgia will have some exotic looks here for the Gators. And then Todd Grantham's defense, Shane, I love it. I always hype this guy up. I think he's outstanding. But his blitzing aggressive scheme doesn't work if you're able to get ground, you know, the ground game going. And I think I just think Georgia's going to have a lot of success. Their offensive line, this is probably the healthiest they've been all season. Dog Nation, and I thank you, Shane, for making the wrong pick, moving to 1-10 on your locks of the week. Vegas is begging you to take Florida and these points. It's very similar to that Florida-LSU game. I think everyone bet Florida on that one outside LSU fans. Georgia gets it done in a close one, Shane. Georgia 27, Florida 20. Bulldogs win and get that cover.
You're probably right. But, you know, I think people look at that South Carolina box score and they say, you know what, Florida gave up the run. No, they didn't have all their weapons during that game, and all these guys are just dying to get back. I don't know. It's just the vibe I'm getting out of the University of Florida. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean a lot to Georgia. I just think it means a little bit more to the University of Florida to get that signature win, to show the nation that they are one of the blue chip programs in the country, and I think we get that this week. Nothing against Georgia. It's just who the hell they played, you know? Who have you seen this year that you're just like, you know what? Georgia is a fantastic team, you know? A lot of people were talking about Notre Dame, but hell, Notre Dame don't look good now, you know? Hold on, buddy.
They whipped the hell out of Murray State.
No, I know. But, you know, here you got Florida, man, that's played Auburn, that's played LSU. This game's not going to be too big for them. They've been in that moment. So I may be wrong, and maybe Georgia's been holding something back, but hell, I don't know. But this is going to be a hell of a game. I do know that. I done told you, I think we're going to see a couple fights in this thing. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. So I'm definitely looking forward to the action Saturday, man.
You just got me thinking of something, though, Shane. This rivalry, I don't care what these coaches say. I think they really do hate each other.
Yeah, they do.
Could you imagine, and a lot of these players, obviously, no fans of one another. They've been talking each other up all week. It's a bunch of bullshit. I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I hope for either fan base it don't, but everyone expecting a tight game. Let's say it's not, Shane. Let's say it's like a 30-point game or something.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, whether it's Georgia or Florida, like I said, I'm not predicting this, but I could see if it is a blowout, you know, instead of late in the game, you know, you knee it out to run out the clock. I could see both these teams saying, to hell with that. Let's punch it in the damn goal line one more time. That's just kind of the mentality of this rivalry where they don't give a damn and they'd rather win by 37 than 30, even if they got this one in hand. So
that's right.
I don't know. This is just pure hate in this matchup, and I can't wait to watch. I hope it goes down to the wire. I don't want a damn 30-point game for either side, but
oh yeah,
I can't wait to watch this one.
Which team throws the flea flicker first?
Probably, you know, I would think last year Florida did it, if I recall. and Felipe Franks had a wide open touchdown he overthrew. I think it would be interesting if Georgia flipped the script and hit them with it, because everyone's going to be stacking up to stop Swift. You know, so yeah. I could see Fromm doing it this week.
Absolutely. Oh, man, it's going to be a good weekend.
All right, Shane, just to recap quickly before we jump off here, we both like A&M to win, but UTSA to cover. I'm picking Tennessee to win and cover. You are picking Tennessee to win, but UAB to cover. South Carolina, I like them to win, but Vanderbilt to cover. You like South Carolina to win and cover. We both like Mississippi State to win on the road at Arkansas and cover. We both are picking Auburn to win and cover at home against Ole Miss. And then Shane is wrong. He's picking Florida to win, and I'm picking Georgia to win and cover. So that's your Week 10 picks there, Shane, and just ready for another weekend of SEC action. How about you?
Oh, me too, man. I am. It's just so much. I love college football, Mike. I love it. And here we are at Week 10. It's just, man, we just got a couple more months left, and then it's done. So you better love it. Now that I'm seeing all these college basketball teams fire up, it's just like, oh, my God, we're almost there, you know. So just just love this weekend, you know. A lot of people aren't going to be watching that Arkansas-Mississippi State game. Why not? I'd rather be watching that than some XFL reboot, you know what I'm saying? So love your college football. Love your college sports. Get them ratings up. So that's all I got, man. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us. The ratings reviews really do help us out. We are going to get to that next week, I promise you, at some point. If I got to do a whole pod just for the reviews, it will get done next week. But, yeah, I love the koozies. Send some beer koozies this weekend. I want to see what y'all are drinking.
Absolutely. And to get your koozie, just give us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. Send that over to us on the Twitters, on the Reddits, over at email at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. That's going to do it, Shane. Thanks for joining me as always. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next
one. All right. See you guys. Go Balls. Second, motherfucking train's on its way. Boop, boop. Morse is on the train, son. He said, "Watch your mouth, boy." 1 second. Could you imagine having to catch a train, like to go to work?
Yeah. What is this? 1872.
I know, it's so stupid. I thought, what's his name, the rocket ship guy was building stuff underneath here, underneath Earth, so that we can move around.
Yeah, old Elon.
Yeah, old Elon. Ain't he got something worked out here?
Well, the first one apparently is from L.A. to Vegas, which would be fucking badass. Because that drive sucks. I've made it a couple times.
So no East Tennessee?